Blog Talk Radio.
Grace and peace be unto you. Welcome each of you to Ignite, our weekly broadcast centered on infusing you with the Word of God, inciting His power, and provoking His passion within you. Our desire is that our broadcast will establish growth, new zeal, and God's purpose for your life. This is Pastor Lakeisha Camp Grant, founder of A Diamond in the Rough Ministries, and I will be your weekly infuser. I am delighted at the opportunity to usher you into the best part of your life. Stay tuned.
Amen. Come on, Pastor Tasha. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Everybody is resting well in anticipation of what I call AKA JoJo. The rain got everybody tucked in tight, but Jesus is still on the throne.
Amen.
If it was not for the Lord, things would be a different way. It could become that catastrophe
That's
going
right.
on in our lives.
Right.
But with a little bit of rain does not give us an excuse not to come out to the Father's house. And
That's
even if
right.
you could not press your way to the Father's house, we have access to be able to get online, call in, stream line with us. We're excited. If this is your first time joining us online, welcome, welcome, welcome. For more information, you can always go to our website, www.ditrministries.com. We are truly excited about today. It may be raining on the outside, but sometimes we need a little rain to appreciate the sunshine.
Yes.
And so we sometimes just want to zoom past the rain and the sad places in our lives, but we need those places to be able to appreciate the sunshine.
That's
so just
right.
hang on, be encouraged.
Yes.
It's a little wet outside. It's a little rainy.
Oh.
It might be raining in your life. It might be down and dark in your life, but God is still in control.
Yes.
And
yes.
the sun yes. will shine again. The sun is
yes.
always shining.
Always shining.
The S-O-N yes. is always shining.
That's
you
it.
Just got to put on your
That's
bright
right.
glasses to see
That's right.
that the
That's
S-O-N
right.
is shining.
Hallelujah.
So be encouraged.
Yes.
We're going to have a word of prayer. Minister Mayor, if you could come and take us in.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. So today is it's a wonderful day. First of all, we got breath. And we're here. We can stand up. Come on, baby. We can stand up and worship God. Just another chance to get closer
Good morning.
To Him. So we're so thankful to God for this day.
Amen.
So I like to, you know, this weekend has been our class reunion. We thought I've been out of school for 24 years.
Wow.
I'm just like, but 24 years, I'm like, okay, but it's seeing old faces creating new memories. It was
yeah.
a big deal because we've all grown so much and gone to do different things in life. And I met up with one of the guys. He came out, and they don't need multi-year reunions now, right? So one of the guys in the class of 92 is a pastor now.
Mm-hmm.
And last week I had posted a picture from Apostle and something that she had written. And that post sparked so many conversations about, who is this church? What do you do? Da, 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 da. So in that, you know, while the setting was, there were drinks there, there were people there, but that's okay because you don't know which direction God's going to take you in to use you
yeah.
to talk about the kingdom. You know, I don't have to go hard. I just go, and I like to dance. That's my thing. I, you know, I like to dance. You know? I like to dance. So I still like to dance, but I'm in there. I'm like, okay. Keep it kingdom. I'm good.
Keep it kingdom.
So, you know, that's what I did. But he and I were having a conversation, and I said, you know what? I've been running for a long time. He said, oh, I have to say you've been running again. I said, you're building your story. And I said, well, in building that story, it's time for me to stop.
That's right.
So in that, prayerfully, we don't see some different people come through here, and in that they will be able to spread a little more kingdom
Amen.
Throughout the different cities, because there were people that come from out of town and everything. You don't ever know who that little spark could get to.
That's
so
right.
all glory to God for that. So as we look to the throne today to start praying, I said, Father God, I thank you for this day.
Yeah.
I thank you for just another chance to get it right with you, Lord God, to walk closer to you, to hug on you, to sup with you, to bow at your feet, Lord
yeah,
God.
Cool.
Father God, I thank you for an opportunity to stand up and just pray and give you all the glory,
yes,
all the
Lord.
Honor, all
yes,
the
Lord.
Praise, Father God. So you are so worthy. God, we had a what you want to call it, a scare of a storm, Joquan, JoJo, as Pastor Tasha calls it. And you spared us, Lord God. You just had to let us know that you are in control. While all the weathermen
yes,
were saying
Lord.
That they're going to hit this, they're going to do that, we're going to have torrential rains, we had a little bit, but you controlled that, Lord God.
Yes,
you
Lord.
Spared
Hallelujah.
Us once again, Father God. And I give you praise for that.
Father God, I thank you just for having us here. Have your way in this place, Holy Ghost.
Yes,
come in, see us, and go from breath to breath, and let that message take out from the to the world, Lord God, that whoever we see will see the light of you in us, Lord God. Father God, I thank you just for all the people that are represented today in this house, Lord God, whatever they stand in the need of, if it be in your will, Lord God, examine their hearts and you talk to them. Allow them to lay it at the throne, Father God. Father God, I ask that you forgive us for our sins, anything that we may have said, anything that we may have done, all things that we have thought, Lord God, that are not of you, Father God. I ask that you clean us out and then clean us up, Lord God, that we will come and be more like you. Father God, I thank you. I'm so grateful for just another chance to just be like you. Lord God, the blood that covers us has already paid the price, Father God, and I ask that you continue to form a hedge of protection around us, Father God, that as we go out, Lord God, and we go meet people, talk to people, that you'll protect us from the seen and unseen dangers, the known and the unknown, Lord God. Father God, I ask your prayers over this city, Lord God, for all the things that are going on, Father God. We hear of the increased murder rates, Lord God, and we're seeing so many different things of spiritual attack, Father God. I ask that you give us wisdom to be able to conquer that in the spirit, Lord God. Give us knowledge of what we're dealing with and understanding so that we can go forth in you. Father God, I thank you for this day, Lord God. I ask that you continue to pour into our apostles, the woman of this house, Lord God, the shepherd that you have sent to lead us, Lord God, that she will continue to receive all the information that you have within your spirit, Lord God. Just continue to fill her up. Overflow, Lord God. I ask your blessings over her husband, Lord God, who walks right beside her, Father God, and grants her the permission, Lord God, to have to do your work in the kingdom. Father God, all the entire leadership of this house, Lord God, gird us up, Father God. Fill us up with the word of you, Lord God, that when we walk out, we will represent you first, Lord God, and Diamond in the Rough Ministries next, Lord God, that we have a good reputation, Lord God, one that wants to bring people to the kingdom. People want to run to the kingdom because of what you have put in us for you, Father God. To you be all the glory, the glory.
Yes,
Father God, I ask your blessings over all the children of this house, Lord God, the young adults as well as the children that are in school, Father God. For they face so many different things, Lord God, all the decisions, all the people, all the different spirits that they come in contact with, that you will gird them up, Lord God, that you'll protect them, and that they will use your wisdom, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to deal with these situations. Father God, I thank you for this day, Lord God. I thank you for all that you're doing. We're in anticipation and expectation of you, Lord God, but we know that you have a word that you're giving to your woman servant.
Yes,
Father God, I thank you once again. I love you. We love you, Lord God, for all praises are due to you. It is in Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen.
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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to welcome each and everyone here. Like I said before, if this is your first time uniting here with the Diamond and Rough, welcome. Just like Minister Mel have a story, I have a story.
Yes.
And I met someone over 19 years ago.
Wow.
And who knew? They didn't know what I would end up being, that I would be called to the ministry. And we just happened to just meet, and our lives have kind of transcended and kind of spiraled around. And I thank you for coming out and wanting to meet Mike.
Amen.
I thank you and your beautiful friend that came out with you. I want to thank you for believing in the God in me when you knew me when I was saved.
Amen.
But you respect me enough.
Respect the God in me. And I want to
thank you. And so I think each and every one of us, we can get up, we can love and hug on one another. Because, you know, sometimes we get disconnected.
Right.
We're so worried about getting here, getting focused, doing ministry stuff, that we forget ministry is love.
Yeah.
And touching someone, and you never know what somebody has been going through.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a rough weekend, a rough week at work. They got to get girded up for next week.
Yeah.
So we want to pour a little bit of love on them. We can stand to our feet and greet everyone. Thank you.
Bye. Hallelujah. In him, all of the crooked places are made straight. Hallelujah. In him, all of the things that are darkness, situation because God is able. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray right here. Pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you this morning. Father, we glorify you this morning. Father, we lift up our voices to you on this morning. Father God, we give you the first fruit of our day on today. Father God, we give you a halal this morning. We give you a barak this morning. We give you a thank you, Jesus, on this morning, oh God, because you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy, oh God, to be glorified. You're worthy, oh God, to be magnified. Oh God, we thank you this morning for the song that came out of our mouth that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works within us, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that you have given us, you have imputed us with power. You have imposed your glory upon us. You have shined down upon us. Your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people. So God, we pray even now, God, that you would come and suffer among your people. Oh God, that you would hear the cry of Zion on this morning, oh God, and you would come and sit among us, oh God. We need your presence, oh God. We need you to dwell among us, oh God. There are some that have come on this morning, oh God, and who are listening under the sound of my voice, that on today, you press them like a woman with the issue of blood. And about to just hear the prayer of Jesus. And about to just hear a word from Jesus. Jesus could just speak to that inspiration. I know everything is going to be all right. That sort of speaks to the very depth of who we are, that you are able, oh God. So we showed up this morning, God, with an expectation for you to show up your ability, oh God. Show up who you are in us, oh God. Speak to us, Father, like you've never spoken before, oh God. Encourage our hearts like they have never been encouraged before, oh God. Give us seed, Father God, your word that you give seed to the soul, God. Oh God, and we think a lot of times that's money. But oh God, it's the seed of righteousness. It's the seed of peace, oh God. It's the seed of your love, oh God, that you impregnate us with, oh God, so that we may go forth and give birth to that all across the land, oh God. We come this morning not holding back our praise from you, Lord. But today, God, we just want to give it all to you, man. We want to give you all of the glory because it belongs to you. We want to give you all of the praise because it belongs to you. We want to give you all edification because it belongs to you. We adore you this morning, Lord. We adore you this morning, Lord. We adore you this morning, oh Lord. We open up our mouths and we say hallelujah. We open up our mouths and we say hallelujah. We open up our mouths and we say hallelujah. Oh God, we feel this place with praise. We feel this place with praise, oh God. Hallelujah. Because we want you to inhabit our praise. We need you to inhabit our praise, oh God. All of this is done, God, not because we want your glory, not because we want to steal anything from you. We won't be glory stealers, God. But God, we want to make sure that you get all of the glory in every aspect of our life. All glory belongs to you, God. And when we step into an atmosphere and we seem like we're not giving you our fullness, God, we'll stop whatever we're doing and make sure we acknowledge your
goodness.
We acknowledge your graciousness. We acknowledge you in the fullness of who you are.
Oh, Holy Spirit, we're looking for you to do something miraculous in here this morning.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
To be close to
my feet, wanna be where you are. Gotta be where you are. Wanna be where you are. Gotta be where you are. Lord, if I find favor in your sight,
And it'll come back. Amen.
eventually, amen, it'll come back. But I want to just jump right into our word on this morning. Amen. As you all, amen, those who are here and those even those who may not be in our physical on today, amen, we are a word-based church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We come and we get the word and we get it good. Amen. And so that is our focus here. We are very family oriented. We love everybody. Hallelujah. And we pray that while you all are here today, that you all feel that love. Amen. I hope nobody feels uncomfortable. Oh, I feel like I'm on the spot. Amen. Amen. But we just want to let you know we're grateful that you all joined us today. Amen. And we're certainly grateful for everybody who's here on today, all of those who are current family members of the Diamond and Rough Ministries. Amen. Amen. But I want to talk on this morning, amen, as we get into our word or get into the thought of the word on this morning. I want to really talk about something that has kind of been on my mind over the last couple of weeks. And the Holy Spirit really has been, that thing has just been pricking at me for weeks now. And every time I think about it, I kind of put it away and then I pull it back out. Because a lot of times this particular thought, it can turn into an emotional thing. Amen. And so I had to really understand it from a scriptural and a spiritual context, because a lot of people preach this message, you know, let your haters go and all that stuff like that. But the Holy Spirit has really begun to deal with me about all of that stuff. No. We ain't doing cliches. I need you to understand. Amen. This morning, we're going to speak from the theme or the thought, the gift of goodbye. The gift of goodbye. Amen. That thing can be very emotional. Amen. Because when you think about saying goodbye, when you think about moving into your next place, when you think about doing something, it always, the end part of it always seems to be you got issue with the person that you had to say goodbye with. But the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about a gift that you give to people by saying goodbye to them. Oh, Lord, am I talking already? Amen. Now, this is my question I want to bring on this morning. I want to pose on this morning as to get us kind of our juices flowing as far as to understand why we struggle with letting things and people go. Why do we struggle so hard? Amen. Why do we struggle hard? One of the first things I've come to realize is one of the hardest things we struggle with and learning to let people and things go is the fear of going into the unfamiliar. Yeah. Amen. We all, especially in the church realm, I'm walking into my new thing. I'm walking into my destiny. I'm walking into my purpose. But you're scared to get there.
Wow.
We're scared to get there. We're scared of the unfamiliar. We're afraid of the thing that we have never, ever done before. Yeah. We're afraid to go to that new place. We are attracted to familiarity. And everybody thinks they're unique. No, you really not unique. You're attracted to what's just like you. Oh, ain't nobody going to ask you already.
Wow.
We are attracted to what we're just like. Hallelujah. If that was the case, we wouldn't have everybody dressed in the same way, wearing the same lipstick, wearing the same hairdo, wearing the same clothes, but we think we're unique. Unique as to what? Just you? You're not unique because we're all doing the same thing. But the thing about it is we find ourselves as human beings are afraid of the unfamiliar. We are. We are, no matter how much we say we're not. Now, let me say this to us, family, on this morning. I'm not speaking at, I'm speaking with. Hallelujah. Because I had to speak this to myself first. Why am I not moving in this direction? Why am I not doing these things? Because you're scared of the unfamiliar. No matter how much you say you're not, you are.
Yeah.
The second thing I've realized, amen, I'm going to give y'all a scripture in a minute. Y'all stick with me because we're going to walk this thing out today. The second thing I realized is why we struggle with letting people and things go is we become comfortable with how things are, even if they're negative.
Wow.
Even if they're negative, even if they're to our detriment, we want it. Oh,
yeah,
Lord. Even if it's to our demise, if it's familiar and it feels good to us, we'll stay with it. We'll be with it. We'll love it. We'll nurture it. We'll caress it. We'll do all of the things that need to be done to ensure we here taking care of it. And then what we do is when we step outside of his presence, outside of his knowing us, when we step into somebody who may ask a question about it, well, you know, I'm moving out of that. No, you're not. You still stuck in it, because when you get to the house, amen, you feeding it, you nurturing it, you pouring water on it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are comfortable with how things are, even to our detriment. Isn't that the weirdest thing? That is weird how we can be, something can be bad for us, but because it's familiar, we'll stay with it. Another reason why we struggle with releasing people and things are because of soul ties and spiritual connections. This is what I mean. What I mean is, if you meet somebody in your life, if you're going through a hard place in your life, and you meet somebody, and they are able to fulfill or fill the void that you felt, you have a very hard time disconnecting from that person.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Because they poured oil in a place that was empty. Oh, God. They poured a filling. They filled your empty place. So when it's time to transition out of the relationship with them, you find it hard because you have this unnatural idea of obligation to them. We stay in relationships too long because of obligation. Amen. We have a soul tie. See, a lot of times when we think about soul ties, we think of it as a sexual thing. No. Women have soul ties with other women. Men have soul ties with other men. If someone in your life, if you met someone at a detriment, that means that you were depleted in your life spiritually, and you met them and they met your needs. That creates a soul tie. That creates a soul tie. Hallelujah. If you met you got a best friend or whatever the case may be, and you all, your relationship is so unbreakable, that's a soul tie.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, that's a soul tie. If you find yourself not being able to disconnect from that person, it's a soul tie, female or male. We have a harder because, and it is not a bad thing. It's because when that person enters your life, they feel a void. And what's so wrong with that? The problem is that when God says it's time to let go, you can't let go of them. That's what the problem is. Not that the relationship is bad, but you don't know when to let go. You can't understand. You're not willing to release it when the season is up because you feel obligated to it. They did this for me. They did that for me. I owe them. How can you pay a debt back that you didn't even have enough at the beginning to begin to try to pay back?
Wow.
You was empty at the beginning, so you couldn't pay it at the beginning. You're not really full now because you still need them. Another thing we do is we have this unnatural loyalty to people. In this culture, people feel like it's a badge of honor to be loyal. Now, let me get this straight. Let me clarify this. Loyalty is not bad. It all depends on what you're loyal to.
Right.
Hallelujah. Sometimes we're more loyal to people than we are to God.
Right.
Woo! I know what I just said. We're more loyal to people than we are to God. See, people can give us instruction and tell us what to do. And amen. Why? How do I know that? Because many of us, you go to your job every day. You're more loyal to that job than you are to God. Oh, listen, let somebody at your, let them say you're not going to work, or they say you disconnected from your financial source. You're going to have some kind of attitude, but we okay with missing church on Sunday. Because it's just church. And see, we can't grow because we have unnatural loyalty to the wrong thing. And we're more loyal. And then some of us are more loyal to the church than to God.
We're
more loyal to church than we are to God. I got to get to my church. I got to do this with my church. Have you talked to God this week? Have you talked to the Lord this week? Have you talked to the one who instituted the whole system? Amen. Because he didn't make the system for us to be connected or tied or burdened down by the system. He created the system so that we can have a place to come together in unity and encourage each other. But we loyal. People have a badge of honor when you're loyal to certain things. Amen. I praise God for those who are, and I'm not going to say members who are family, with the Diamond in the Rough ministry. Amen. And I praise God that you're loyal to the cause, that God, I praise God that you're loyal to the vision. But amen. If God says, take all of this down, we got to be okay. But if
that's
he said,
right.
Let it go, let it go. Because we're not loyal to a building.
Amen.
We're loyal to a vision.
Yes.
And moving forward and producing what God wants us to produce. Hallelujah. Whether it be me. See, that's why it's important that we don't get all caught up in trying to hear the same person preach every week. That's why I don't like to do that. Don't get caught up in me. Amen. Because then you become loyal to me and you're not loyal to God. So if we have different voices, then you can't get loyal to me. You become loyal to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what we have to understand. But got our loyalty all twisted up. Another reason why we get connected or why we find it hard to disconnect is we like what people do for us. It makes us feel good. Why would I mess up? They make me feel good. They encourage me. They say nice things to me. They give me stuff. Why would I mess up with good things? It's crazy. Amen. But if God said cut it, then cut it.
Yeah.
Nope, I'm not going to cut it. Because they do all kinds of wonderful things for me. When I need them, they there. I know that's a wonderful thing. But if God said you don't need them no more, then you don't need them. That's the hardest thing to do, to believe that if God said you don't need them no more, you like, well, God, yes, I do, because they do X, Y, and Z for me. Well, I'm the one, saith the Lord, that does all things. I provide all things. I'm the void filler, not people. But we can't walk away from people because they do wonderful things for us. And then another reason is, and I thought this one was funny when the Holy Spirit gave this one to me. He said, because we got to prove a point. Sometimes you're in a relationship with somebody just to prove a point. Well, I got a stick with them, and I'm just, oh, they don't know, honey, because this is about to happen, and we're going to handle it like this. Look, that's why it ain't working, because you're trying to prove a point. Get out of there. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's going to help somebody, because I know about three people listening online that's like, ooh, mm-hmm, yeah. Sometimes you're in relationships with people because, amen, we feel like we got to prove a point to the next one. Hey, we want more last, baby. Watch it. And you really, really, you looking for the last. Dying. Ain't nothing developing in your relationship. Ain't nothing going. But because Uncle Bobo and them say y'all want more last, now you got to prove a point to them. Y'all over there can't stand each other. Amen. You don't like the way he cock his eye. You don't like the way she turned her head. But we got to prove a point.
Amen.
Amen. You got friends in your life, and you know they talk about you like a dog. And every time they pick up the phone and call you, hey, girl. If it's not productive, why are you in it? You trying to prove a point. To who? Because at the end of the day, you ain't getting nothing out of the deal. You look silly. But we stay in relationships trying to prove a point. I don't want them to think that's about me. And we do this as Christians. We do this as Christians. I just don't want them to, I don't want to give a bad representation of Jesus. Just say, have no friends. Hey, really, when you really read the text, they have no friends. Oh, y'all ain't going to talk to him. Jesus have no friends. He had associates. Hallelujah. He kept it moving. Hallelujah. But we in the body of Christ, we feel like we obligated to people. I just don't want nobody to think bad about the church. What they don't have, they listen, if they have an issue with you, it's not the church, it's you. I don't want nobody to think bad about Jesus, but I tell you what, no matter what you do, they still going to have their own idea. So you trying to stick around and prove a point to them is not going to change nothing. Either you want what I got or you don't. Now, see, you talk like that to people. Hey, you're supposed to be a Christian. I am a Christian. The Bible says if they don't want what you have, kick the dust off your feet. And Chuck, you do. You do. You keep moving. Oh, but we don't like that part of the Bible, because we always want the part of the Bible that says Jesus wept. Jesus, that's what we want. Amen. Amen. You feel good. We want the feel good part. And then finally, as I move to the text, we want to stay in relationships, so we have a hard time transitioning out of into our new place, because we don't want to mess up a good thing. It's a good thing. Because in our eyes, it's a good thing. But watch this. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 12, it says, everything is permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. Can I say that again?
Oh,
everything is permissible.
Yeah. I think. It means that, that what does that mean? That means the things that are within the goodness of God. Amen. That means things that you know are morally correct. They're right. They are right. But that don't mean it's right for you. Prime example. Okay, maybe you may drink a little glass of wine. Well, maybe your neighbor don't want to drink no glass of wine. Amen. Whatever is permissible for you may not be permissible for them. Hallelujah. Just like people say, well, such and such ain't in the Bible. You're absolutely right. That's what this text is speaking to. It speaks to those things that are not implied, but say that there is a morality check that you personally have to check. I say all the time, a lot of people say, I can listen to all kind of music. I can't. I can't. But that don't, I'm not trying to knock your hustle, because I don't listen to all kinds of music. I don't listen to secular music. It does something to me. I mean, maybe it don't do nothing for you, which, you know, I'm still suspect. But anyway, I ain't knocking your hustle, but if that's your, if it's permissible for you, the Bible don't say you can't listen, amen, to Keith Sweat. Don't say it. But it does tell us that we need to guard our ear gates, guard our eye gates, because Keith Sweat ain't talking about edifying. That's the most important thing. So just because it's good for you doesn't mean it's good to you. Oh, no, excuse me, let me say that. Just because it's good to you doesn't mean it's good for you. And everybody has what's good for them. Hallelujah. And so then you have to check your moral compass and find out, Lord, what is it that you have permitted me to do? What is it that's appealing and pleasing to you for me? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everything is permissible for me. But look, watch this. This goes on to 1 Corinthians 6 as well. I'm reading the rest of the text. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Ha! That's the key. If it got you trapped, it ain't for you. So if you're in a relationship and you can't get out of it, that is not for you. It's not the will of God. You should be able to go in and out. The only relationship that you really should not have a choice whether we be in or out is marriage. But that's unexpected. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. But that's what's important. Let me ask you all a question. When food spoils, what do we do? Okay. When plants die, what do? When clothes no longer fit, what do we do? Put them back in the closet. Okay. Outside of putting them back in the closet, most people throw them away. Give them away. Amen. So let's pose this question. Why don't we understand that relationships have an expiration date? Everything has an expiration date. 1 Corinthians 3 and 6 says, watch this. Paul, Apostle Paul is talking, and he said, he has planted, I have planted Apollo's water, but God gave the increase. Apostle Paul makes reference to the fact that everyone has a time, a place, and a space in our life. But when that time has expired, we must be willing to allow the next assignment to do its work.
Amen.
This is what we have been taught to believe. Some people are seasonal and some people are lifetime. How many have been taught to believe that? But the truth of the matter is, the only thing that's a lifetime is Christ. Everything and everybody is seasonal. Your mama's seasonal, your daddy's seasonal, your children's seasonal, your friend's seasonal, even your spouse is seasonal. Why do I say that? Because people constantly change. We as human beings, we constantly change. We're learning, we're growing, and we're always developing. So because of that, none of our relationships are going to ever stay the same. Watch this. This is an important thought. Many of us are in relationships that we perceive to be constant. Think about this. But the reality is, there is and for a time of inconsistency. So in any relationship we're in, even if it's a constant relationship, we run into a space and a time in that relationship where there is an inconsistency in a relationship. Watch this. Whether you're aware or not.
Wow.
People constantly change position in our lives. Our parents, children, spouses, friends, everybody constantly changes position. But change does not represent negativity. Sometimes change represents necessity. Now, how can I even say that people always change, even the constant people? Because even though you may not know it or not, people's perception of you always changes. Oh, see, you be married long enough. You don't love your spouse every day. Amen. Women, you don't like them every day. Let me clean that up. You should love them every day. You should love everybody. You don't like them every day. Amen. Some days you feel some kind of way about them. Let me come a little closer. Let's talk about our kids. Amen. Because, you know, we get a perception like, oh, I just love my baby. Sometimes you don't like them, brother.
I promise.
Sometimes they make you sick.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, man, looking at me shady now. Amen. Sometimes you don't like your kids. Amen. We don't want to say stuff like, but it's true. God feels like that about us, too. I don't like everything you're doing, but I love you. Oh, my God. See, we cannot fathom that God thinks like that. Amen. But if we are the image and the likeness of him, and he gave us the mind of Jesus Christ, that means that mind sometimes can say, I love you, but I don't like you. I love you, but I don't like the things that you're doing. And so that's why it's important for us to know that we constantly change in each other's lives. Parents and child relationship changes. Amen. Kids grow up and they have to leave out their mom and daddy's house. And you can't live with your mom and daddy forever. Hallelujah. You can't live with them forever. You got to get out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You got to get out. Learn how to get on your own. Learn how to develop some things on your own. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even friends. Hallelujah. You got a bestie or whatever the case may be. It's wonderful you got a bestie. But if you marry, amen, you got to move them out the way. Y'all ain't going to talk to me.
Right.
Amen. You can't be married to your bestie and your spouse. You got to pick one. Oh, okay.
Right.
Come on. But so we want to have it all. We want to be married to the bestie, married to the spouse. No, sometimes you got to tell bestie, look, fool, I'm going to talk to you later. Amen. Oh, see, y'all, you quiet now. But that's what we got to know what we got to do. Come on, I got a sister right here. My bestie right in here with me. We got to do that. I love you, boo, but I'm a hoe. Amen?
Amen?
And when she get hers, I'm sure she going to say the same thing to me. I love you, boo, but I'm a hoe. I got to go. Amen. I got things to do on this side. But that's because relationships constantly change. Even the constants change. Amen? And so what we have to understand is that when it's time for the relationships to change, we have to be okay with releasing. We have to be okay with letting go. We have to be okay with moving on. We have to say that saying goodbye is a gift. We have to get to that understanding that letting people go is a gift. Okay, let me teach you, because now I'm getting ready to get to the text. Y'all ready? Amen. That was just the beginning. Amen. So our text today is going to come from Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. Amen. Is anybody getting anything this morning? Amen. Amen. Again, Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through 41. And the Bible says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where he preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with him. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commanded by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the church. So, in this story, we find that Paul and Barnabas, after working extremely close, going from city to city, setting the captives free, working and preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ together, they found themselves having a little disagreement. These brothers was doing powerful ministry together. And in all that anointing they had a problem. That's one thing we need to realize. I don't care how super saved you think you are. I don't care how anointed you think you are. Change is inevitable. You have to change. You have to be willing to move. And God will send the most unexpected people and places and things to move you. See, sometimes we get mad at people that come and try to shake up our ministry, to try to bring contention to the ministry. Sometimes because it's causing you to change. Sometimes they need to come to shake us up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So they found themselves having a bit of a disagreement. wanted Mark to join. But Paul, he had an issue with Mark because he discovered that prior to this meeting, Mark had gotten tired and weary in his serving. When the saints needed him, he faltered. And so Barnabas didn't have an issue, amen, with Mark. But Paul did. Paul said, I can't fool with him. I can't trust him. Amen. Because when I really need him, he ain't trying to be there for me. When I really need him, he gonna fall short. He's not my cup of tea. Y'all ain't going to help me. See, just because something is your cup of tea doesn't mean it's somebody else's cup of tea. And it will create a situation. There are times in our lives that we have to make choices about people, places, and things that we're moving into. Everybody ain't going to want to move where you go. Everybody's not going to do what you want to do. But you have to be okay with who you're choosing. So Paul said, no, I'm not okay with it. But Barnabas said, now that's my nephew. What you can't do, Paul, is you can't hold him to something he did in his immature state. You can't hold him captive to something that we did not. Come on, y'all. We got two dichotomies going on here. Because, see, that's what we do. When you know somebody ain't your cup of tea, amen, you know you have one mindset that says, I got to go. They not my cup of tea. Then you got the other mindset that says, well, they all right. I can't hold them to that. But not understanding, if they're not meant to go with you, they're not meant to go with you. Ain't no hard feelings. Watch, I'm going to show you. So, again, Paul was upset. And then Barnabas, you know, being Mark's uncle, said, listen, don't treat him like that. Let's take him with us. But Paul, again, said, no, I'm not really feeling why or feeling him going with us. So as Paul and Barnabas parted ways, because that's what the text says, they parted ways. Amen. The Bible says they had so much contention with each other, meaning they got into a heated fellowship. They had a screaming match. They got into a straight up heated fellowship and decided to part ways. So the Bible said that as Paul was on his way, he chose another man to go with him by the name of Silas. He chose Silas, and the Bible goes on to talk about why Silas was the better choice. Now, he could have stayed with Barnabas because him and Barnabas was doing good together. Why wouldn't Paul just say, you know what, Barnabas? We so good together. I'm not going to let something as small and minute as your nephew being a little shady stop us. We just going to go on in Jesus' name. We just going to go. Because he could have said that. Are you all getting what I'm trying to convey? He could have said, we could go on. I'm not going to be petty. I ain't going to be petty. We're going to go on, Barnabas. But Paul understood his assignment. He understood what God had called him to. And he understood, I can't have no scary people going with me. I can't have no people that's going to falter while I'm going. Maybe that's okay for you, Barnabas, but it's not okay for me. Now, see, if we was to do that nowadays, we would say, oh, they're a hater. They ain't Christian. They ain't right. See, when you have that kind of the Paul type of attitude, people mad at you. But Paul did it. Paul said, I ain't got time for it with Mark. And he's shifty shady. Amen, but if we were to do that to somebody right now, they'd be hot and bothered. I can't believe you did that to me. You call yourself a Christian and you treat me like this. No, you are not. I can't take you. You don't carry the capacity to go with me. No, I can't take you with me. I don't care who cousin you are. I don't care. Oh, Lord, that's going to happen. But I don't care who uncle you are. I don't care whose auntie you are. I don't care whose family you are in. You don't have the capacity to go with me, so I got to let you go.
Amen.
We struggle. But look at Paul. Paul understood his assignment. Is that what some of our problems? We have no idea what our assignments are. So when God starts telling you, cut this one off, cut that one off, keep moving, disconnect from here, then we don't want to do it because we don't know what our assignments are. Come on, that's why so many of us chasing after our purpose. See, if we get in God, oh, Jesus, then he will reveal the purpose to you. You ain't got to try to find your purpose. You are in the purpose. Paul understood that he wasn't looking for his purpose. He was already in his purpose. And as he moved ahead, he needed those people who were going with him, who were a part of the purpose.
Yes, yes.
No shade. You just ain't part of the plan. Oh, Lord, y'all gonna talk to me?
Yes.
Come on, you just ain't part of the plan. Now, this was so powerful when we think about how he chose Silas. Watch this. He chose Silas, or the positive attributes of Silas were this. First, when we go back and do the research on Brother Silas, Silas was a prophet. He was a prophet. Amen. So if I got purpose in my life, I need somebody who has the ability to foretell where we're going. I need somebody that's able to go to God on my behalf. Because sometimes I may can't pay for my sometimes I may can't go to God for myself. I need you to pray for me and give me a word. I ain't always got a word for you. Can you give me a word? So Paul had to take him with him because he served a purpose. And then another positive attribute about Silas was, when you go back into the research, he was recommended by his peers. What does that mean? Silas had favor around town. I mean, sometimes it's okay to be with folks that got favor. Come on now. Sometimes you got to be with somebody who can get you out of where you are. And everybody around you is stuck in the same place. Y'all going to get a hole. Because you ain't going nowhere. Everybody's doing the same thing, shuffling and jabbing. We're going to end up being in a hole together. And then watch this. Silas was a Roman citizen. What does that mean? Watch this. When you read further in the text, you find that Paul received some instruction from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, Paul wanted to go to Asia Minor. Holy Spirit said no. Then Paul wanted to go to Asia. Holy Spirit said no. And then Paul wanted to go somewhere else. Holy Ghost said no. Then Holy Ghost said, I want you to go to Macedonia. What is Macedonia? Well, Macedonia is in Europe. So I need to go somewhere. So he was sending him somewhere so that he wasn't quite familiar with in his own self. But if I got somebody who the people can identify with, y'all, see, sometimes God will take somebody else out and put somebody else in because they have what's needed to progress. He had to move. Look, Barnabas was his eighth boom. But he didn't just move. Amen. He didn't just reject or push away Mark, but he moved Barnabas out of the way. See, Barnabas, you was good for where we went to, but now we got to get off the bus. Now I need somebody else to go. And watch this. If you read further in the text of chapter 16, it goes on to talk about that as they were going on, that he also picked up another disciple. His name was Timothy. Amen. And Timothy, he was a little timid too. Watch this. Timothy was timid too, because Paul had to have a whole lot of conversations about, you know, telling Timothy, man up, man, come on. But this is something that Timothy had that nobody else had. Timothy was loyal. Jesus. But he was a good kind of loyal. He was the one that said, I'm scared, but I'm going to fight with you. I'm a little nervous, but I got my sword in my pocket. I don't know what they're going to help off me do, but I'm going to swing until they get up off you. The gift of goodbye. Do you know how much of a blessing that was to everybody? For those two men of God to part ways. Barnabas then had his own ministry. Many people, even now, you go to some churches and they have the Barnabas ministry. This is a counseling ministry. But they knew he was a man with a tender heart. They knew he was a man that loved God's people. And he wanted to always get them back on track. But Paul had another mission. Paul was thug-like. Paul was about getting them people saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost by any means that he came into the game knocking a fool. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. He came into the game and then God called him while he was killing folks. God called him while he was persecuting the Christians. He was about a whole different sect of people. See, that's what we gotta understand in the body of believers. Everybody wanna be the same. That's why we always think we were unique, but soon as something unique comes, we reject it. We don't want the unique stuff. Everybody wanna be the same. We wanna sing the same songs. We wanna do the same thing. We wanna go the same places. But as soon as God said do something different, everybody nervous. I'm doing something to promote the kingdom. Well, you do what God called you to do. I got something different. Hallelujah. When Pastor Tasha was talking, she said there's enough ministry for everybody. Hallelujah. There's enough ministry for everybody. but we don't like to release the old stuff so that we can get to the new thing. Amen. We can't let go of the old stuff. We can't let go of the old traditions, the old mindset. Honey, we over here doing X, Y, and Z. Well, when I come, you look like you just out of church. Amen. I'm not saying we're doing the same thing here. We're having church here, but there has to be something different that you have to be bringing. Everybody can't preach the same message. Listen, now this will make somebody mad. If we all preach in prosperity, hallelujah, then how are we going to get the rest of the word? If we all preach in faith, how are we going to get the rest of the word? Somebody has to understand that the kingdom suffers violence and the violence take it by force. Somebody has to understand there has to be some forceful folks in the mix. And we can't be so scared of the forceful folks that we say, that ain't my cup of tea. Well, Paul was needed, and because he understood his purpose, and he was okay with his purpose. I don't have no tender calls. Hallelujah. I'm called, amen, to the shaky folks. I'm called to the people that's a little bit on the thug side. But it's okay. And Barnabas, I can't take somebody that don't have just a little bit of thug in with me. Amen? Watch this. So, when we choose not to let people go, what happens? When we choose not to accept our own purpose and walk into what God has called us into, what happens? The first thing that happens is we frustrate ourselves.
Yeah. Yes,
you know, sometimes you go to a particular job that you may be employed by, and you work every day, you work every day, you work every day, you work every single day.
Yes.
And I can't get nothing. It seems like it's always something, always going on. Well, maybe it's time to move.
Hello.
Maybe it's just... I mean, it's not that I just hate the people here. Oh, my God. No, you don't have to hate them. Maybe if you're frustrated in your place, it's your time to move. That's it. No, you ain't got to hate nobody. You ain't got to come back home and talk about everybody at the job. You ain't got to run the folk in the ground. You ain't got to run the company in the ground. You ain't got to do none of that. You know what? I think my season is up here. Amen. Amen. You know, because we're quick to do that at church. You know, Pastor, the Lord told me, my season is up here. Your season up. You ain't even learned how to serve yet.
Yeah.
But you quick to tell the world, because we at the church, we ain't got nothing to offer you. Woo! We ain't got no checks coming every week. So you can say to the church, the Lord told me, I think my time is up. Well, what did you get when you was here? See, that's what we need to start doing at the church. We need to start giving people a quiz when they exit the church. You know how when you leave a job, they give you an exit interview? Say you didn't get an exit interview at the church. Well, tell me what you got since you've been here, since you let the Lord release you. Blind wonder. Amen. Come on now, people are gonna get mad and I'm saying, but come on, you're not gonna tell me that you can get on that job, on that secular job, and you can sit there for years and years and years and take they mess. And you come up in the church, as soon as somebody say something that make you feel good. Now, all the many years, they done said all kinds of crazy stuff to you.
Yeah, yeah.
People all in the bathroom, around the water cooler, they call you out your name. Amen. They done got your hands up lying on you.
Yeah.
You all down in human resources, trying to defend your honor. You feel it. Come on, y'all ain't gonna talk to me. I'm talking about a life. I'm talking. Feel it. But you come to the church, as soon as the pastor or one of the leaders in the church say something slick.
I didn't know, Pastor. I didn't feel what is to my spirit. The Lord said I need to be released.
Get your mind held down. Bam.
Amen.
Come on. Ain't that what we do?
Yeah.
Don't talk to me. That's what we do. And so when we don't move out of the places in the right time and in the right season, we do frustrate ourselves. And the second thing we do is we frustrate those in whom we're holding on to. So when you don't move and release people the way God has intended, you frustrate them. Come on now, you ever see a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and they together because they're trying to prove a purpose to somebody or whatever the case may be, and then they're together and they can't stand each other. I mean, on the low low. I mean, some married couples like that too.
Yeah.
Can't stand each other.
Absolutely.
Why you gotta wear some shoes all the time? Like,
I mean, like, but you said, what you told me at the beginning, there was pretty shoes. I don't know, it's just something about them now. What happened? I thought we was all love. But y'all begin to frustrate each other when it's time to transition out of certain relationships. Now, what I am going to say is I'm a proponent for marriage. So I ain't saying every time you and your husband don't get along, hallelujah, that is the Lord, because you know folks will say, the Lord told me, honey, I got a divorce. So you better sit your hips down and you better wait it out. Wait it out. You better get to that baby's been the last resort. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, and I have to say that because, I mean, we know, especially in the feminism movement that we're in, especially, you know, the church is the biggest place for a whole bunch of feminists. Amen. We want to do what we do. Women, we want to do what we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it. Amen. And we don't want to respect the men of God. Hallelujah. When the brother say do X, Y, and Z, be salty. Amen. But we can't be like that. Amen. So I just wanted to plug that. I don't want nobody to think, I'm not a feminist. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyway, praise God. I had to share that. That was important. Amen. And so we frustrate those whom we are holding on to. Amen. When your time and your season is up with girlfriends, with boyfriends, in relationships, with things too, not just people, with things, we hold on to stuff. Don't we hold on to stuff?
Yeah, we
just gonna be by the choir right there. And another thing we do is we frustrate our purpose. That's why all of us, I'm just looking for my purpose. Why are you looking for your purpose? If you get in the will of God, you ain't got to look for it. It's there.
Wow.
See, what we're supposed to be doing at this point in our lives is walking out purpose. You ain't got to look for it. It's already in you. It's already there. Just start walking. Start moving. Start disconnecting from things that don't edify your purpose, that don't connect well with your purpose.
Yeah.
Amen. We don't know our purpose because we got too many other people and things connected to us. And so we can't hear God speaking direction for our purpose because we hear everybody else and their stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then finally, we frustrate God. We frustrate God because we keep asking God for the same thing over and over and over again. God, I need you to do this with my money. God, I need you to do this with my relationship. God, I need you to do this with my children. I'm trying to. Every time I try to tell you what to do to get out of the situation, you keep going back into it.
Wow.
Every time I say don't do this, you keep doing it. I don't understand. You're asking me to do it, but you won't give me the space to do it in you.
Wow. Wow.
We said, come on, we ask God for the same stuff over and over again. I asked that question. Why do I ask you for the same stuff over and over again? Really? Because you ain't listened the first 5 times I gave you the answer. That's why. It ain't nothing super deep. You're not listening to me. Because you know why? Because it's going to cost you. Right. See, you don't want to pay toll. You don't want to pay what it costs to get the answer that I'm trying to give to you. You don't want to give it up, but you want it. So when you're ready to give it up, then I got you. Then you can hear me. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to give it up. But so we want to spiritualize it. It's just not, you know, my time. It's just not my season. Maybe it is your time and your season and your turn, because, you know, that's the new thing now. And your turn. Maybe it's your time, your season, and your turn, but you still came here because you're out of position.
That's good.
So how do we let stuff go? How do we let it go? I'm almost done. I'm at the end. How do we let it go? The first thing we need to do in learning how to release people, places, and things is we need to take inventory. Watch this. Is it a move out or just a move over? What do I mean? The scripture says, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. So what does that mean? These are three different spaces that we can find ourselves. Planting is what you have to work in. So planting is when you put your hand to the plow. So that means if you are in a space or in a relationship or in a place or whatever in your life and you are physically working at it, then that's where God needs you to be, in that place of working. You're still connected. You may not have it. It may not be ready to move out. It just may be time to move it over. Just not out. Just don't completely get rid of it, but just slide it out of the place. Amen. Once you plant a seed, amen, then you move on to the next thing.
You don't forget about it because you know you got to come back to it. And then the second thing is watering. What is watering? Watering is what you have to nurture. It's what you have to nurture. Amen. So maybe you're in a place in your life that you're nurturing something. You're encouraging it. You're pushing it forward. Maybe that's not something you need to move out of the way just yet. You just have to move it over because it should not take up all of your attention. Amen. If God is giving you purpose and God is sending you on your way, then in your process of watering, amen, you water and then keep moving. You water and keep moving. Amen. You don't stop in the process. But then, watch this, because this blessed me when I was studying this. Increase. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Increase is what's needed to be moved. So when you get to the place that it's time for the increase, somebody gonna get there. When it's time for the increase, that's when you know it's time to move. Let me flip that. When it's time to move, that's when you know the increase is coming.
Amen. Amen.
That's when you know it's time for the increase. So we're saying, God, do this, do that. He said, move. I ain't ready to move. So we're missing the increase. The second thing, what's next? We gotta ask the question, what's next? What direction should we be moving in? Where am I going, God? What are you directing me to do? If you're telling me to release this, what's the next thing I'm supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to attach myself to now? James 2:20 says, faith without deeds is useless. So what's the point in saying, God, I trust you, God, I believe you, God, all of these, but you ain't, we're not willing to do anything. We got to be willing to do something. So that means we need to be able to hear the Holy Ghost for direction. Hallelujah. The third thing is, don't wallow. Don't beat yourself up about change. Yo, when God says time to release, there's no need in beating yourself up and being mad at the person you got to win. There's no need to be mad at them. Amen. Even if you ran into a sticky situation in your transitional process, hold that stuff in your heart. Understand that all things work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. It's okay. Amen. See the lesson. And when you go back and you look at the text, Paul don't even talk about Barnabas no more. I would even go as far as to say it. He wasn't even mad at Barnabas because once he met Silas, the light bulb went off. Oh, that's why I had to let him go so that I could be introduced to this new guy for my new purpose. Not for my new purpose, but to go on in my purpose. Philippians 4:6 says, it says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Finally, this is my last thought, and then I'm done. Though goodbyes are sorrowful, they are necessary for progression. There is a gift to saying goodbye. All goodbyes doesn't mean that something or that your life is coming to an end. Every goodbye is a hello to what's new. So we have to be okay with letting go, leaving those things which are behind, amen, and pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, y'all, and put your hands together. Bless the name of Jesus. Amen. Maybe you're listening to me on today. You're listening online, or you're sitting here in the sanctuary, and you're saying, you know, Pastor, you know, Apostle, I've been kind of mulling in my head about some things I need to change. Maybe it's not people. Maybe it's a mindset that you have. Maybe it's a mindset that you have. Maybe you want to get out of thinking one kind of way. You know, mindset keeps you stagnant. And if we're saying we want to be progressive in our lives, progressive in our walk, then we have to change our mind. The Bible says that we should be renewed in our mind. We have to allow God to change that. We have to put that old thinking, that stinking thinking is what they call it. That thinking that I'm never going to grow. I'm never going to be anything. I'm never going to develop. That I am my situation. That is not the will of God. That is not the will of God. That is not the will of God. So on today, what he's saying, give the gift of goodbye. Give yourself a gift today. Give yourself a gift today. Tell that old stuff, that old thinking, the old ways you used to talk, the old things that you used to do. Let it go. Maybe that thing has been plaguing you for years. Maybe the things that you've done in the past has been plaguing your heart, and the enemy has been working on you, saying, you're never going to be this because I remember when you used to. You're never going to grow because I remember when you used to. You're never going to come up because I remember when you used to. But the word of the Lord said there is no condemnation in him. That when you step into his arena, when you step into his holy arms, when you step into his place, he said, all things are new. All things are new. Hallelujah. How many believe that this
Hallelujah.
Morning? Hallelujah. There is a gift to your goodbye. So this morning, I want us to rest on our feet because we're going to say goodbye to some stuff. Come on, maybe it's some people you need to say goodbye to. Come on, you have been so used to being around a certain kind of people. Amen. And they don't promote your development. They don't agree with your growth. Because but you've been around them all your life. And that's all you know. I don't know no more, Lord. These are all the kind of people I know. Well, maybe today you need to just say goodbye so that God can push you into your new surroundings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we're going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. We come before you today, oh God, and we are making an acknowledgement that we have been in some places in our thinking, some places in the way we speak, some places in relationships that have caused our purpose and the plan that you have for our life to be stagnant. We have been stuck, God. We have been stuck, and we've been wanting to get out, but we've been afraid to say goodbye. We have felt that the goodbye is going to be the end of who we are. It was going to break us. It was going to take us down. It was going to steal our joy. We were going to be regretful of our goodbye. But on today, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that the spirit of regret, the spirit of antagonism, the spirit of worry, the spirit of frustration, the spirit of condemnation will be broken off of the minds and the hearts of your people on today. Oh God, I pray now in the name of Jesus that as we are now reaching up our hands to you, saying goodbye to the former things and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, God, that you will welcome us into your place again. Welcome into your bosom again. Welcome us into your peace again. Welcome us into your love again. Welcome us into your joy again. We're ready this morning to say goodbye, God. Goodbye to old mindsets. Goodbye to old thinking. Goodbye to unproductive speech. Goodbye to unproductive relationships. Goodbye to places we used to go. Goodbye to people we used to hang around that meant us no good. Goodbye to our past that has been plaguing us for years and years and years. Goodbye to condemnation. Goodbye to low thinking. Goodbye to low self-esteem. Goodbye to low self-worth. We're tired of being in that place, oh God, and we're ready to step into the door of our purpose, to step into the door of the plan that you have for our lives. We're ready this morning to step into our new Lord. God, we bless you today, and we thank you, God, that first we receive the gift of goodbye. And we make an internal, even now, God, that everyone who's under the sound of my voice, get that thing on your mind. Get those things on your mind. You have to say goodbye. So get them on your mind. Get them on your mind. I don't care how many of them is, how many of them there are. Get them on your mind. Get them on your mind. Now I want you to imagine in your head that you got a trash can. Now I want you to begin to start putting that stuff in your trash can. Oh, Rabasha. Put it in the trash can. Put it in the trash can. Put that old thinking in the trash can. Put those old relationships in the trash can. Put those things in the trash can that don't promote productivity. Put them in the trash can. And once your trash can gets full, I want you to roll it out to the curb. Roll it out to the curb. And you leave it. Because it's just like when the trash man comes. You ain't got to go back and check the trash can. All you have to do is go back the next day when it's empty and bring it back. Leave it on the curb. Leave it on the curb. And let the Lord come and sweep all of that mess away. Hallelujah. Let him sweep it away, sis. Let him sweep all that mess away. That doesn't belong to you. That's your past. Not who you are now. It's your past. Your past does not create or is not who you are now. There are some parts of the past that have given you what you need in order to progress into your present.
Yeah.
But you're not your mistake. You're not your mistake. And that's enough of allowing your mistakes to live with you every day. Some of us, we have made a bad partner with our mistakes. We sleep with them every night. We get up with them in the morning. We take them to work with us. We have a ride in the car with us. We take them when we're in our most happiest places. Those bad things come to our mind. When we feel like we're at the top of the mountain, here come those mistakes. Sneaking up and saying, don't forget about me. Today is time to say, no, I am going to forget about you. Goodbye. Goodbye. I'm giving myself. Point to yourself. I'm giving myself a gift first.
Thank you,
God. And once you give yourself a gift, if the Lord has instructed you that there are people you need to say goodbye to, give them the gift. Come, give them the gift. Don't hold them hostage any longer. Don't hold them hostage because you're insecure. Don't hold them hostage because you're lonely. Don't hold them hostage because you bitter. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go and let God introduce you to the new. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we bless you for that on today. We thank you, Father God, for how that word encouraged our hearts. We love you this morning. We glorify you this morning. We're so grateful this morning that we have ran into an awesome gift. And that gift is called goodbye. We say goodbye to the old things, Father. And we say hello to you. Hello, Lord. We want to be back into your precious presence again. We don't want to miss you again. We don't want to be out of your will again. We don't want to be confused again. We don't want to be caught up in all kinds of foolish things. But we want to live in the place called peace.
Yeah.
So we bless you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Come on, y'all. Put your hands together for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to say that again on this morning. Amen. Because what's going to happen is when you leave out of this door, the enemy is going to say, she's lying. You are your past. That's what the enemy is going to tell you. He goes, anything that lady said, she don't know what she was talking about. She don't know. Mm-hmm. She don't know nothing. About what she don't know, because she don't know the stuff you did. But I'm telling you, the Lord is saying, your past is your past. All things are made new. Once you throw it away, it's done. God ain't worried about it. You more worried about it than him. Hallelujah. You more worried about your stuff than him. He ain't worried about it. Because once you said, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. He took it. And he threw it into the sea. Amen.
Amen.
People try to condemn. God never does.
Thank you, God.
So if you stick with God, you'll never be in the place of living a condemned life. If you stick with God, you'll always stay free.
Amen.
Because you'll realize that he is the one that gives us total liberty and freedom to be all that he has called us to be. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We bless God. Amen. For the word that came forth on today, were you not blessed by the way? Amen. We bless those who are online on this morning. We thank God for you that you all decided to join us for worship on today. And we pray that you were blessed by the word on this morning. We pray that when you hang up from this line, that you don't allow the enemy to come and steal these precious seeds that were imparted into you on today. Understand today that the enemy is going to challenge this word. He's going to challenge this word, y'all. You understand? Because there's going to be some folks that you need to say goodbye to. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to call you. And the Lord's going to say, you up? Spotlight on you, baby. What you going to do? Amen. So we pray for fearlessness.
Yeah.
It's scary.
It is. It's scary. Amen. It's scary to let go. It's scary to move ahead. It's scary to let go and trust a source that you've never trusted before. Hallelujah. It is scary. It's very scary. Amen. But God said, trust me. If you trust me, I got you. All that other stuff, let that stuff go. Because that stuff going to fall. It's going to let you down. It's never going to give you what you need. You're never going to be fulfilled until you trust God. You're never going to be fulfilled until you trust God. There's something waiting for you, says the Lord. There is something waiting for you. Your trust is your key. There is a blessing that the Lord has for you. He said your trust is holding you up. You don't trust him. But if you trust him, says the Lord, I'll unlock that thing for you. Asking for stuff over and over again. I want to give it to you, but I need you to trust me enough to know that I will give it to you. Other people can't give it to you. You've been looking for other sources. He said, I'm the source. And that's how you're going to get it. When you make up in your mind that God, I don't understand all this stuff. I don't really know about all of it. But what I am going to say is, I done tried everything else. So I'm ready to trust you. I may stumble a little bit. I may fall off a little bit. Sometimes I may be up. Sometimes I may be down. But I'm going to stick with you through this thing, Lord. And I'm going to see what's on the other side. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we bless God. And we are going to go down from this place on today. Amen. If everybody is able, amen, we want you to get a good seed in your hand. Hallelujah, so that we can have our time of giving. Amen. If you are listening online, we ask that you go to our website at www.ditrministries.com. That's www.ditrministries.com. Go to our donate page. Click on the front page. You're going to scroll to the bottom and you're going to see giving. Online giving, go to our PayPal account, amen. You can sow seed as the Lord instructs you to do so, amen. If you are a member or a family member of a Diamond in the Rough, amen, then you can go there and you can pay your tithes online, amen. We would thank God for you for doing that, amen. Those who are here, Pastor Tasha, she has the Swipe thing. So she can do that. For all of everyone else, if you decide to come on up and put your seed in the basket, praise God. Hallelujah. We thank God for you all and your giving. You. We pray that your week goes absolutely fantabulous. We pray that you join us for our Tuesday evening intercessory prayer. We ask that you call us at 6:30 p.m. The number is 605-475-4000. Access code 229-314. If you forget the number that I just gave to you, amen, go to our website at www.ditrministries.com, and that'll give you the number that you can call for our Tuesday evening prayer. Amen. It's an hour of power, 30 minutes of intercession, whatever the Lord instructs us to do. But we would love for you to join us in prayer. Also, if you go to our website, you'll see that we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Periscope. We on all kinds of things. But those are all of the resources that you can send your prayer request to. If you want us to pray, you want us to keep you lifted, you want us to put you on the altar, send your prayer request to us. We want to pray for you. We want to lift you up in prayer. Amen. Some of you all have, amen. Go to our website and there is my phone number on the website. Text me. Amen. If you have a prayer request, text it to me. Amen. And we will receive that. Amen. And we will pray for you. So those who are on the line, we pray that you again have a wonderful week. We love you. You all go in peace. And may the peace of the Lord be upon you. Bye-bye.